Take a picture? You sitting at the... Hello.
Good, yourself?
Yeah.
Zoning Board of Appeal meeting is now open. Looks like the first item on the agenda is applicant Yakov Eisenbach. Public hearing regarding 146B Camp Hill Road. Reconstruction of the recently demolished single-family house on the same footprint as the former house.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Paul Baum from Sirachi and Baum, attorney for the applicants.
Let me just step in real quick, because I think it's on for a public hearing.
Right.
So why don't we take a motion to open the public hearing?
Is there a second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the public hearing is now open.
Thank you. Thank you again. So we're here today to request variances to allow the reconstruction of a home basically on the same footprint that previously existed. I submitted a narrative back in January outlining the application. The applicant was demolishing the house. He had a permit to demolish the house. When they got down to the foundation, they determined that the foundation was rubble. It wasn't salvageable, so they had to pour a new foundation. The pouring of the new foundation now made it from a non-conforming or use of non-conforming bulk, and because they had to take out the foundation, now they had to conform to all the zoning regulations for the R40 zone. If the foundation was fine and was salvageable, they could have put the house right up. We wouldn't be here before you. And that's why we're here, because that foundation was bad. So, like I said, we're putting it on the same footprint. What we've done as part of this application is the applicant also owns an adjacent lot of about 5,000 square feet. The lot that we're here for was 8,000 square feet. We're merging the two lots. We're putting together to make as bigger lot as we can. And by merging the two lots, we've eliminated a couple variances that we previously asked for, because now we're conforming by merging the lots. So we're here for, seven variances. The first one is the required lot area is 40,000 square feet. Of course, we can't comply with the 40,000 square feet. There's no land around us to get us to the 40,000 square feet. But as we indicated, we merged the two lots to increase the lot from 8,000 square feet to about 13,000 square feet. So we brought it more into conformity than it previously existed when it had the house on it. The minimum lot width is required is 150 feet. It was 75 feet. With the new lot, we now have 121 feet. We're still deficient by a small margin, and we're asking for a variance for that one. Minimum lot depth is 140
feet. Can I just interrupt for one second? I'm just looking at one of the memos, and it said 112.3. Is it 112 or is it 121?
I believe it's 121. I think a prior memo of Lou might have had it incorrect. So let me pull out the site plan. What did you just ask about?
It was width, lot width.
Lot width. No, but it's not. It's 37 and 75. 112.
It is 112.
Where did I get 121? I might have juxtaposed the numbers.
Okay.
No. Lot width, it says it's 46. Oh, that's why. It's only 37 feet. Sorry. Lot 13 only has 37.3 feet of width. No, that's not right. No, it's 112. I stand corrected.
75 and 37.3.
Yeah, but 37 is the is the frontage. Yeah. And the lot width you usually measure back.
Under the house.
You know, at a greater distance, so it's got to be a little bit bigger than that. And I thought it might have been corrected, maybe on the submission to the planning board. Let me just take a look. No, I don't have a recent one. Okay, well, let's say for the sake of this argument, it's somewhere between 112 and 124. But if the application says 112 and the letter's 112, we'll take that. But I do believe it's bigger than that. I believe it is 121.
But a minimum of 112.
Minimum of 112, yeah, because 112 is the front lot, but when you measure the lot width, you measure it at a point back. And if you see lot 13, you know, sort of goes off at a tangent, it's not straight, so it's gotta be a little bit wider further back.
Now my last point is if a variance is granted, then it'll be for no less than 112 feet.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we'll go by the plans, whatever's shown on the plan, so.
And just so we're clear, the plans are last dated, last revised?
I believe it's December 26th. So you have, Andy?
December 28th.
Is it 28th? Yeah, 28. It's too small on my paper to read, so.
Yeah, 12/28. We referenced that in our review.
Thank you, Martin. Okay, moving on. Number three is for minimum lot depth. We're required to have 140. The lot existing is only 108. We can't increase that. There's nothing we can do to make it more in conformity. The front yard, we're required to have 50. Originally, it had 24.2 feet, but because the foundation was moved a little further back, we're at 26.2 feet. So we've increased the prior non-conforming condition. With the required side yard, we're supposed to have 25. We previously had 7.1 feet, but because we're merging the lots, now we're up to 17.8 on the one side, and the side that we were 7.1, we no longer need that variance because the lot line is going to be displayed. So
can
now
you repeat
we're.
That one more time?
Excuse me?
Can you repeat that? You said 7.1?
It was previously 7.1. Let me get my directions here. To the south lot line, but because we're eliminating that lot line, we're going to meet the requirement to the south. But the northerly lot line is 17.8. So we've eliminated a non-conforming condition on one side and maintaining the same condition that was there on the other side. With regard to the required rear yard, we're required to have 30. We're proposing 10, but not 10 to the house, 10 to the pool, because in the village, the pool has to meet the setbacks. So we're asking for a variance for 10 feet to allow the in-ground pool. Again, it's not a structure, it's just a pool, so there's gonna be no building there that's really encroaching into the rear yard.
What's the square footage between the house and the property lot?
between the house and the rear yard is 34 feet?
34.
Excuse me?
34.
34 feet. So the house meets the setback, but the pool doesn't. And those are the major bulk variances that we asked. The one other variance that we asked for, Steve Honan, the attorney for the planning board, had suggested that we might need it. I believe Luzumo did not feel that we needed it, so we asked for it because there was some confusion as to whether we needed it. And that's a 7-732 village law variance, which requires that a structure have access to a public road. And so that you don't create landlocked lots. In this case, this house was always served by an easement that went from Camp Hill Road up to the lots. It's still being served by that easement. It's suitably improved. It's actually, it's rather good condition. It's almost like a brand new driveway, right, Lou? You were out there?
Mm-hmm.
So we've asked for it out of an abundance of caution, but only because Steve Honan suggested that we might need it, but according to the building inspector, we don't need it, so.
If I could back here for a second.
Yes.
How short is that? You said you need 10 feet to the edge of the property line. How short are you within the 10 feet for the pool?
No, it's not that we're short, is that these two lots don't touch Camp Hill Road.
Okay,
so the only way to get to these lots is
I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the variance on 7-9.
If I can clarify.
Okay.
The setback from the rear yard is normally 30 feet.
Right.
But if you measure it from the end of the pool to the property line, it's 10 feet.
Correct.
So by putting it in the pool, they need a variance on the rear setback. Otherwise, the house is
within compliance.
It's 34 feet.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, the house is in compliance.
The house is in compliance.
The pool comes to 10 feet. The pool
so
and
I'm
the rear
right,
and
yeah,
the rear setback.
Yeah, I'm still getting my question. So the pool is short to 10 feet distance. How much is it short?
No, it is. No, the pool is 10 feet.
It is 10 feet.
And the 10 feet counts, so it's short of the 30 required.
So it's 20 feet.
Right, right. The pool would be required to be 30 feet.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Just like the structure.
Okay, I didn't realize
yeah.
that. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. Okay. And a lot of municipalities for pools, they say it only has to be 15 feet or 10 feet yeah. as an accessory structure, but under your code, it has to meet the setback for the house. So, I thought you were asking me about the 732 variance.
If I could ask a question about the easement, is that easement on file?
It's a recorded easement. We provided. Did I send you a copy, Martin?
I think he sent Steve Honan.
Yeah, but it is a recorded easement, and access has not been a problem. Access served the property. This house, I think, was built in 1958. The lots were subdivided by deed back in the 40s before there was, you know, subdivision requirements. That's how these lots were created. And that house was built in 58 and it existed until it was raised last year for the new house. So those are the variants that we've requested. As I indicated, because we merged the lot, we no longer need a minimum lot frontage variance. So we were supposed to have 100 feet. Now we have 112.34 feet, so we meet that requirement, as well as the maximum lot coverage.
I can interject. When you say you merged the lot, is that still a proposal and has to be approved by the planning board?
Correct.
If we were to do anything tonight, we would make a condition that would be subject to planning board approval.
Absolutely. I mean, what we wanted to do, we were supposed to go to the planning board last week, and the planning board didn't want to hear us because their attorney said, you need the variances first, because otherwise the planning board was creating a non-conforming lot. So he requested that we come to the ZBA first, get our variances, and then go to the planning board.
It's not our intention to put you in the promoter catch 22.
Yeah, well, we're sort of there, so hopefully we're winding our way out of it. But
and just on that easement, so I don't think I've seen the easement, but you did give it, you submitted it, Steve Holland has it?
I believe I did. If
either way, you have it and you can get it from me?
I have it. I probably have it here in the file.
Okay.
That I can, if I can find it, I'll hand it up to you. But if not, I'll be more than happy to email it to you tomorrow, David.
Okay, thank you.
note to email it to you, so I don't have to waste the board's time thumbing through my file.
That's okay.
Email.
Working with Plan Account.
Okay. So my last point that I was making is with regard to the other variance that we eliminated by agreeing to merge the two lots was the maximum lot coverage. We were at 23%, but by merging two lots, we're down to 18%. The requirement is 20, so we do comply. It's 20%.
It's 20 current.
New lot.
Okay. It's 15 for the house itself and 20 total.
So going through the factors, you know, is this going to create an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood? No, we're rebuilding the house on basically the same footprint, the same location. The house existed since 1958, and we're just putting it back because the foundation was shot. So
you say same footprint, same square footage?
Same?
No.
No, I think we got another floor on it, right? So the square footage of the house is a little bit more, but the footprint itself is the same. So we're not really changing anything in the character of the neighborhood. Can the benefit sought be achieved by some other method other than a variance? There's no way we can do it. I mean, it's an undersized lot. We're doing the best we can by merging the two lots and bringing them more into conformity than previously existed. But at the end of the day, the house was there, and the house is going to be there, and the lot's going to be bigger than it was before. So there's no other way we can do this without a variance.
Okay, next question, Lou.
Yes.
Remember before we looked at a home that we had another level and there were fire code issues with respect to sprinklers and things like that, does that apply here?
Yes, it did. They did get a supplement to the sprinkler plan and they bid for a sprinkler in the house. Okay. So before they get the permit approval, they're gonna have to supply with the paperwork on that. They're gonna put a sprinkler in it.
I'm assuming it's a three level.
Yeah, it's three floors.
Are there any problems with the height limitation?
It's 34.5 feet is what they measured it out as. The top roof is a flat roof.
Okay.
So it doesn't have a peak that goes, you know,
above
the 35 feet. And the top floor is not actually a complete floor. It's a partial floor with a sun deck. Mm-hmm. So it's got a rooftop deck.
It's usually pretty flat.
It's all flat.
You would hope.
Yeah. For his sake, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's going to roll off into the pool.
Exactly. The next factor, are these area variances substantial? We don't think they're substantial. Again, they were existing conditions that in many cases were improving the existing conditions. And the only new variance that we're seeking is for the pool that didn't previously exist. But again, it's not a structure that's going to, you know, encroach within 10 feet of the property line. Obviously at grade level, and nobody's going to know it's there once you have a fence around it, unless they look over the fence. So it's not going to create any sort of negative impact on the neighbors.
And how high would that fence be?
No idea.
I don't know.
I'm hoping it's at least 6 feet.
You 6 feet fence around? Excuse me?
Minimum 6 feet.
You can't have an 8. Although some, you can have an 8 if you step it back a little bit, but not here.
He doesn't have room anywhere.
Yeah. So it'll be at least a 6 foot high fence. If you can go higher, we would, but
we can't. That's why it's happening.
Yeah. Well, we can ask for a variance, but we're not trying to.
Yeah.
No,
we're not trying to add more variances to this. We want to be in as much compliance as we can. And we're doing everything we can to get there, but this board sees from this application, there's nothing we can really do since it's an existing lot. The proposed variance will not have any adverse effects or impacts on the physical environmental conditions of the neighborhood or the district. This is a type 2 action on the CEPR, so it's not even subject to an environmental review. And whether the alleged difficulty was self-created, and they were not self-created, because in this instance, what created the need for the variance was the fact that the foundation was in poor shape. Again, if that foundation was solid, and salvage a boat, we wouldn't be here, we would have gotten our permit, we would have built our structure, and we wouldn't need any variances. But because that foundation was such in poor shape and needed to be replaced, now it's a new construction, it's considered a new construction, and we have to comply with all the requirements, but it's not a situation that we really created. It's the creation of the poor foundation.
But the poor foundation has nothing to do with actually adding. If it was the existing foundation and you want to put another story on it, I doubt very seriously whether the existing foundation can support the extra weight from additional story.
Well, if you had a solid foundation, I'm not an engineer, I can't really answer that. If it was a solid foundation, they would have built on it, and they would have had an engineer review it, and they would have built whatever they could build.
To bear that load, it would never happen.
Yeah. So, but again, I'm not an engineer, I can't. Maybe it would have been 3 floors, maybe it would have been 2 floors, I don't know. But if that foundation was solid and usable, it would have been used. But it wasn't, so we had to take it out. So that's the nature of our application. We did submit a response because Martin Spence had written a memo back in October. Our narrative addresses, you know, going back to that time because we started this back then. I don't think I've seen another memo to the zoning board on this.
There was a memo January 23rd.
Yeah, I think that was from the planning board.
No, I actually sent it to the zoning board.
Got it.
January 23rd?
Yes.
Okay.
So, if the board would like, we can go through Mr. Spence's memo. If you have any other questions of the applicant, we can certainly answer whatever questions you might have. That's basically the nature of our application.
I have one question. Would the added story, half story, the extra height, would that create different sight lines for the neighbors?
Yes.
In other words, would the neighbors now see a house where they wouldn't see one before?
I assume it's a little higher, so I haven't been there. I can't personally say that, but this house is higher than the one that was there, so maybe.
And the reason why I raise that is, if in fact we do create different sight lines, we may want to consider a vegetation plan to act as a barrier, sort of screen.
Well, I don't know how you screen a third story vegetation. You'd have to plant some very significant trees or plant low trees that would take a very long time to reach that height. But I guess but my point would be to that was, again, if the foundation was fine, what we're building is totally within code. We're not seeking to.
I'll open it up to the public.
So, again, what we're building, we're not seeking a variance for the height. The height is legal. So, and if the foundation was fine, we probably wouldn't be here. So it's really just that foundation that's required and needed. We're not seeking any height variances. We're just building within the code.
Your memo?
Yeah, just to put it on record, I prepared a memo dated January 23rd, 2023. The first page is informative. It references the plans that were submitted last revised December 28, 2022, prepared by Civil Tech. This application is concurrently before the planning board for the subdivision plat, which is sheet one of this plan set, which is merging the lot. It was an empty lot to the south of this property, and they are merging it to provide greater lot area. It makes sense because it was an isolated lot owned by the same properties, two non-conforming lots, and this will create a lot still non-conforming but closer to conformity than prior independent lots. I had five engineering comments. I'll just go through them real quickly. S1 provides specification of actual permeable paver block. They are proposing as part of their plot plan, they're providing permeable pavers, which is permitted in the local law as long as they act as permeable pavers drainage-wise. It appears as hardscape, but they have open joints and the subgrade has to be a certain design that will allow water to infiltrate and not have runoff. So we're asking for the specific specification actually to qualify that as a permeable paver. This way it doesn't count as what they're proposing as not development coverage. That's S1. S2, we're asking, there is a property to the north, a house to the north, and we're asking for a solid screen of arborvitae along that north property line, which is closest to the pool. Now, if they're proposing a solid 6-foot high fence, that may mitigate visibility at eye level. But they can also have some vegetation to kind of soften both sides of the fence. S3 filter fabric at the seepage pit shall be placed. It's just a detail note. S4 on their vicinity map, they should include lot 13 as part of the hatched area, and that's just a minor note just for completeness of the plans. And then S5 to provide drainage calculations. They are providing a seepage pit for the collection of runoff from the roof drains, which we see as a benefit compared to previous conditions. And that is our report, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Anyone from the public wish to comment or have any questions? Now's your time. why don't you step up, so we can give you name and address. We'll have a complete record.
Hello, my name is Miriam Zabach. I live at 8 Linden Court, which backs the new construction on like one house over at like a diagonal corner property. And specifically, before you talk about the sight lines, which is my concern, from that third floor, you could definitely see into my property and into my pool. And I do have a 6-foot fence around my pool, but because of religious restrictions, a man can't look into the pool when women are in the pool. And I definitely feel like if there's a man at that third floor level, he could see directly into my pool. So the sight lines are definitely an issue for me. And it's definitely higher than the existing house. So I actually did ask Shapiro to send an email to the zoning board to put it on record. But it was a concern.
Something we thought about as well.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I might say just the...
Well, why don't you
Hi, so actually what?
Yeah, tell them who you are.
I'm Alex Lagna from 146 Campbell. So basically, her property is basically more higher up than mine, up the hill. And it's not, I look special, there's no visibility into the pool at all. And regardless of being a small fence on the top, so shouldn't even be able to look at it.
So you create fence around the sun deck area?
Correct. So I got a small fence around, like a 3 whatever is proposed, just so we shouldn't come in, just someone's at the roof shouldn't fall down, just for safety. But her house is basically higher up, so even though I'm there, it's impossible to see him. And she, I can show what she wants, but it's impossible.
My house is not higher up. My house is lower down.
It's on a hill up more.
No, you don't know where my house is. My house is lower down.
We should try to avoid a direct back and forth between audience members and applicant. We can address the board and we can facilitate that communication. But just so for the clarity, you're saying, sir, that you have a sun deck proposed up on the third floor.
Correct.
But what, it either has a current design, or you're willing to add a fence on the back of it so that people on the sun deck?
It's still coming a fence, just if someone's on the rooftop, no one should ever fall down.
You can't, there's not going to be a view. You'll
exactly.
Put something up to block the view.
As a fence out of the fence, there's no visibility.
Well, the fence, in order for no view, the fence would have to be taller than...
No, even if now it's out of the fence, nobody has the ability to see in the pool. She has a fence, so if me, I can see in, but regardless if I add the other fence on the rooftop, it will be zero visibility.
So if you add the fence
on the rooftop,
Lou Zumo, if,
yes.
In terms of the height, if he adds a fence on the sight lines around that rooftop...
There's a 3.5-foot wall on the rooftop now. And then he's going to add a short fence on top of that. So if he adds a 3.5-foot fence, he's up to 7 feet.
Okay.
So unless he's, doing a good Jabbar, he's not looking over it.
Understood. So is that part of the plans now? That
not
seven,
current,
or he'll add that?
Not on the current plans right now, but that's something he could add because he doesn't have an actual building permit yet.
Right. Does that, how does that impact the height in terms of the
roof requirements? The roof is still higher.
What's that?
The roof, it goes by the flat section of the roof. The roof is still higher part of the
way. So he would still be okay by adding that?
Yep.
Okay.
So that would be at the half story level or in the summit?
The roof is actually like a shed on the flat deck. So it's measured to the top section of the flat roof. It's got a slight slope on the roof. So it's at the highest point of the flat roof. So even if he adds a railing, it shouldn't be anywhere near the highest point of the roof. That's 9.5 feet above the height of the deck.
So he's got that on one side and then
the
wall
other side faces, yeah, the other side faces Camp Hill Road. So it's.
Has the applicant provided elevations or architectural plans as of yet?
Not finalized ones, correct ones for the sprinkler system and everything else that's going to be involved. So,
okay.
And I'm sure they're going to have to be updated at this point.
Okay, so that height, I'm sorry, just give me those dimensions again. What the
rooftop,
go ahead.
The existing rooftop deck tops out at 34.5. So you have three stories, but the top story's roof is a flat deck with a shed on it. That's where the stairwell comes out up onto the roof.
Yeah.
That 34.5 is measured on the highest point of the roof.
All right, and then around the perimeter of that
there's
is
a 3 foot. There's a
3 foot. That's
three, 3.5 foot.
Okay.
It's not a flat deck like you're thinking a flat deck where you can look out at foot level. There's a wall up.
Right, there's a wall for safety.
Yeah, that's right, it's a parapet wall.
It's a parapet plus parapet and a little fence, so it should be no one should come over or in safety.
The height of the roof deck is not 34 feet.
No.
Right. It's much lower.
The height is much lower.
The height is measured at the top of the shed roof.
So, just so I understand, I apologize because I haven't seen the plans and I don't know the dimensions. I'm just trying to put my notes and visualize what you're proposing to see if it matches up with what the concerns that have been expressed are. So wherever the roof is, you're proposing to put something how high up above that, whether it's partially the wall, the safety wall, and then a fence on top of it, however it's constructed, what's the proposal? How high would that
it will
be
below,
structure be?
It won't be higher than 34 feet required, but it will be enough for a person not to, he wants to know.
From the
deck, you're going to have a parapet about 3.5 feet high, and then you're going to put a fence on top of that. How high is it going to be from the floor to the top of the fence on that third? Probably like 5 feet about.
4 feet.
Well, 3 feet plus 3.5 feet, 6.5 feet.
So if he puts, even if he puts another 3 feet on there,
that would be a total of 7 feet.
It would be a total of 7 feet.
Are you proposing to have a solid fence-like or visual obstruction 7 feet high around the perimeter of the roof deck?
Correct.
Okay.
Is it necessary to be around the entire perimeter or just the side that faces the other houses behind it?
I don't know. I don't know what houses are where. I don't have the plan.
I would put basically the ones facing the neighbors, but I will probably around anyways, no one should ever fall over just for safety.
Right. No, not for safety. I mean, that's per building inspector or whatever we require for safety. But for the visual screen to any neighbor, is it just the one?
It's just one side.
Is it just one side that we're talking about? It
should be just the back side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the back side. Okay.
Yeah. It'll be a safety reason.
Safety, whatever faces
the
Correct.
And I heard the Mrs. Zabak?
Yeah.
Mrs. Zabak's concern on visual from the roof deck.
Well,
I think we'll let you talk in a second. I just want to finish one thought. Is what about any windows on the side that's facing Mrs. Zabak's property?
That's impossible. From the rooftop, I can't even see the pool, and the windows is all lower on the second floor, so there's no windows in the attic, so there's nothing to see, and then lower is, I can't see nothing. It's low.
There's trees between
I'm willing to take them to see it.
Yeah.
To see.
Now you can see it.
Yeah. So you can see. So, I'm sorry, Lou, I was overhearing you. You can see now in the winter, but in the summer months,
there's trees and vegetation between the lots. And right now, there's no leaves on anything, so you can see easily between the lots over there.
Okay.
Once things start bringing up again, the variable change. There's major growth tools between the two.
The pool use is in the summer,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. As part of putting a pool in, you only got 10 feet. Will you have to take some of those trees out?
No. Trees are not on his property, they're on the neighbor's property.
Okay.
He took the trees out all the way to his property. So the fence is going to go there, and anything he does is going to go there.
Right.
And then somebody's going to deck and put the fence over the 6 feet, and then you got trees behind it, and bushes on the other side of it. So it's.
I just looked at it on Google while the board was talking about it, and the pool is pretty far distance. It's a little indicated, you can see that there's a fairly wooded area.
I'm sorry, excuse us. Sorry, we understand that you're showing, but
yes.
It's very hard to hear. Your lawyer is presenting, and we can't hear. We're hearing you, we're hearing him. So, yeah.
So what I was saying is that while we were here, we looked on Google, and if you take a look at the Google map, you can see that the pool is a pretty good distance from this lot, and there's a lot of screening and tree growth, as we indicated, between our property and the pool. So I think we have no objection to putting these types of conditions on to make sure that the neighbor is, fears or concerns over privacy or address.
Okay.
Any other comments?
No. I was asking about the windows, but you got that part.
So in terms of the window, just so I'm clear, I know there was a couple different conversations.
She's showing basically the window that's above the staircase, which is just like, instead of skylights, there's no floor, there's open staircase, so it's not lookable, it's just for sun coming in.
So
there's no floor there.
So with the rooftop deck taken care of with this proposed, barrier 7 feet tall on that side, Mrs. Zabak, is your concern satisfied with that, or do you still have a concern?
When the lawyer said that you'll leave up the trees, so that the trees, they fill in, hopefully they'll block it.
Yeah.
So the existing trees to see
that. That they maintain.
Yeah, and the trees are on your property?
No, well, all along, it's
trees
everywhere. They're everywhere. But as long as they don't cut them down.
Okay, so the trees are an integral part of that screening.
Right.
All old growth trees that have been there.
Yeah.
Probably before the subdivision.
Okay.
Right. And you're not planning to remove any further trees?
It's not my plot, my camera, but anything. There's a lot of trees. There's like a whole forest of trees, so it's impossible. Maybe like 100 trees, I don't know. Like a lot of trees. It's a lot.
Okay. Okay, does anybody else have any other comments or concerns, any other members of the public?
So just to conclude, I think we...
Oh, yeah, somebody else.
Sorry, there's a member of the public.
I'm sorry.
You just need your name and address.
David Fenton, 144 Campo. I apologize for being late. I do have a few questions. I understand you guys would know best. I would hope he would know best, the inspector. It's built, there was an original foundation that got, was damaged and they had to redo. From my knowledge, from my view, living in front of them, it was a trailer, a double wide trailer. If that, a double wide trailer's foundation, in my opinion, you can't hold a three story building. He's saying he just built off a foundation that was there, but it was a double wide foundation. This house appears, I'm not saying it is, I've never walked on the property since construction. I was on the property a couple times back many years ago. It appears to be wider and longer. I could be wrong. It's certainly a lot taller because I couldn't see the trailer from my backyard. I'm now, I don't have an issue of the other family that lives on Haley Drive. I don't want people looking in out their windows and looking in my backyard, but that's reality with building. If I want privacy, I go buy 50 acres and put my house in the middle. But reality is, it's taller than the house that's in front of it. And the foundation had to be redone, but a trailer has a ground foundation from my understanding. But the foundation is raised out of the ground. So that he actually gained footage with a raised foundation. It's not a flat foundation. My knowledge, trailers don't have a basement. But this has house, I believe, has a foundation from the construction I could see from my backyard. The visual, I walk out and I can't see trees in his backyard because there's a house there. It is what it is. But is it within code? Is the height of this house within code? Does it need to, a house of that size? Does it have the sprinklers in the system? Does it need sprinklers?
So you missed in the beginning, the height limit for houses within the village is 35 feet.
Okay.
With the height restriction. At the highest point measured on the highest point of the roof, it's 34 and a half feet. So it does come within the height limits set in the village code. Also, the building inspector has mandated that there be a sprinkler system installed and the plan be filed with the village for review before the house gets built in permit.
Okay. Now, at that 35 foot, is that from ground level or from the foundation?
From grade in front of the house.
From the grade in front of the house, and it's within code.
Yep.
Okay. I'm not opposed to the guy doing anything as long as it's within code.
I'd also like to clarify something. I inspected that house when the woman sold it.
Okay.
That house was actually a cabin with an addition on it. It did have a full foundation in the basement.
Okay.
It had a roll.
Like I said, I've never been in the house. So.
A poured foundation on the new addition, which was probably done sometime in the 60s.
Okay. Makes sense. Like I said, site view completely changed. Mm-hmm. Changed my site view, but if there's nothing, there's construction so far along. I'm sure maybe you do have the power. I'm not asking the guy to knock down the house, but stay within codes. There's seven different variances. I'm not good with this. My wife, unfortunately, had an emergency with my daughter. She knows how to follow this stuff better. Is the variance, I may have misunderstood because my hearing's horrible sitting in the back. Are they talking about combining the two properties?
Yes.
The front house and the back house?
No, the two side-by-side lots.
In the back, there's two lots there?
Correct.
Okay. And is he planning on taking down any, he's not taking down any trees in the back, that was just cleared. How about in the front and between the two houses?
There's virtually no room between the two houses. There's no real trees there.
There's the evergreens that do offer a little bit of privacy. And if he gets a permit to cut down trees.
Well, he would need a permit, which he's probably not going to get.
Okay.
There is a planting plan as shown on the site plan. They're putting in a number of arborvitaes, white pines, Norway spruces, and then some foundation plantings.
Where are they putting those?
Around the perimeter.
Okay.
They have Norway spruces and arborvitaes and white pines around the perimeter because the interior lot is mostly taken up by the house and improvements.
Now, I know there's his two houses and also another house trailer in the front. Who owns that driveway?
The house in the front.
The house in the front.
Mm-hmm. 146.
Okay. He owns all the way back to...
He owns all three properties right now. He owns the house in the front.
Oh, he bought the house in the front as well? Okay. Very good. And again, I don't want to take too much of your time. The seven variances was going for. What were they?
There's six.
Six?
Lot area, lot width, lot depth, minimum front yard, minimum side yard, and minimum rear yard.
And he falls in compliance with all?
No, that's why he needs variances.
Okay. And what's the deciding factor if he could change variances to change people's property values?
That's up to the board.
It's up to the board.
But what are the considerations is, you know, what was there before? And whether he did this project or not, he's still stuck with two little lots that would never be in compliance with the existing zoning code. So before anybody could do anything, they'd have to come from the Zoning Board of Appeals and get some sort of variance, whether it's this one or another one. Those lots, even when combined, will never meet the 40,000 square foot requirement that the village now has, but it didn't exist at the time those lots were created.
Okay, that makes sense.
If he took down the original house and wanted to rebuild it in the same size and look identical, you'd still need the variances.
Okay. And he didn't go any wider than the original foundation.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just want one question for clarification. Was there I didn't know that there was a planting plan that's helpful, I guess, that's presently before the planning board, Martin?
Yes, that is on their site plan, and there's a list of, there's a plant list with the species, the size, and the quantity.
Okay. And is that, what's that dated? Is there a date on that plan?
Yes, last revised December 28th, 2022.
And is there a plan for any fencing? Other than on the rooftop that we already talked about, but on the property itself, is it just planting? Is it planting plus a fence, or?
Well, I need a fence around the pool.
Around the pool.
Fence around the pool, okay. But not the perimeter of the property?
A fence on the property.
Yeah, that's silt fencing. Yeah, that, on the plan, they have silt fencing around the property, but there should be clarification on where that fencing around the pool is, because that would provide a level of blocking the view of the pool. So
yeah, that's the reason I was asking. Yeah. Vis-a-vis this issue of visual screening, is there, in addition to planting, is there also a plan to put in a fence?
The applicant indicated yes, and put up a 6-foot high fence right on the property line, and as additional screening and buffer to the neighbors.
There will be a fence around and around, like all three. There is the whole fence now. The other one I'll be fixing up, and then up to
around the
ground.
Pool, around the whole property.
Property.
The whole property.
So kind of coming, so it's coming off, like coming
three
off
sides,
the house,
yeah,
and then
three
wrapping
sides
around,
one,
and then closing
two,
the pool.
Three. There's a half one. There's one half one existing now in front. And there's one like this way, which is, I'm gonna make a new one, so a little broken, and then another two coming. The whole thing to be
so surrounded. Three sides of the property will have fence. You got four.
Three. One side has half already. Where the easement comes in, there's a half a fence, but three and a half. Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to clarify one thing. So there's a lot of talk about the height and everything. There's no issue with square footage or FAR, any of that thing. It's just those are kind of ancillary to what some of the other people are, I guess, feeling, right? It's really just, if he were to even build a one-floor house, he would still need all of these variances.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct. Anything we built there.
Right, there's no FAR issues here. You're in that.
The village doesn't have a FAR requirement.
Okay, I mean, or or square footage issue, whatever, however we do.
Yeah, we're within the requirement for 500.
Okay, same. That's why I just wanted to be clear on.
I guess with the exception of the pool. The pool creates the need for that rear yard, whereas you wouldn't have otherwise needed it, right?
Right, that's the only one that it would theoretically is new, because all the others were previously existing conditions.
Right.
The pool is a new condition. That's correct.
And that's also assuming that the patio area is going to be done as permeable, which counts as zero for developmental coverage.
Right.
If that's substituted for something else, then he has a developmental coverage variance.
That's why we listed it as one of our engineering comments that they have to submit as when they submit for building permits, that they have to provide a detail that we will review that satisfies that permeable paver detail. Without it, it doesn't satisfy the development coverage.
There should also be a note on the plans for the permeable paver maintenance schedule. We'll supply you a copy of it.
Yeah, we have no objection to that.
It's on which, what are you, it's on the plan already?
Yep.
Okay.
So you need, just need the detailed specifications of the manufacturer and mm-hmm. grading on the inches and, okay.
Is there anybody else that wants to be heard from the public?
Make a motion to close the public.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carried 4-0. The public hearing is now closed. And now it's up to us to consider the application.
Right, so you have you have your typical usual applicable balancing test. It's a weighing of interest, weighing of the balancing test of the benefit to the applicant of the variances granted against the detriments to the health, safety, and welfare of the community. And that balancing test is guided by the five factors that you're all fully aware of. The first one is whether there will be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to nearby properties by the granting of the area variances. Anybody have any strong feelings one way or the other on that issue? And that's an issue that I know there's a number of things that were talked about, maybe conditions that might be relevant to that factor as well.
Good thing we at least have the fencing around the property, and from the privacy perspective, that should be included, required to put that up.
Does anybody else feel strongly that it will create a detriment or undesirable change, or that it will not? It will not with conditions, and I've got a list of things that I was jotting down from the conversation. If you'd like me to go over the things that I got on my list, I'd be happy to do that now or at the end, in terms of discussion points.
I think at this point, subject to the conditions that were discussed and based upon the applicant going over these items, since there was already a house in that location, albeit a while ago, and just putting up another residential property on the same location with the same footprint, then it would not be detrimental to the neighborhood or change the nature of the neighborhood at all.
Basically, my two cents is I understand, I'm sorry, I didn't hear his last name, but the neighbor, his with the sight line, while it does raise a drop of concern, but because he is within the village code, it doesn't cross that threshold for me. I hear your concern, but because he's within that, under that 35 foot line, and because he seems like they're agreeable to adding the privacy on the back part over there. That kind of alleviates my concern for the other neighbors as well.
Did you want to go over the conditions so everybody?
Yeah, these are the things that I've written down in no particular order that as I was listening, some of them relate to that privacy issue, but otherwise also from Martin's memo, and they might be a little bit repetitive, so I apologize. First would be compliance with all of Martin's comments, as S1 through S5, to the extent that they're not already complied with. That would include providing the specifications for the permeable pavers. I wrote down a note on the plans for the paver maintenance schedule, but that's done. But that would be one of them. The addition of sprinklers per Lou's, subject to Lou's approval and inspection and approval. The addition of a 7-foot high visual barrier on the rooftop on the side. What compass direction is that on the house? I know it's on the side of Mrs. Abak's property, but I don't know. No, the west side?
East.
No. The east side?
It's the east side.
East side. West, sorry.
Okay. So on that side, a 7-foot high visual barrier. The next one would be, leaving the trees or maintaining the trees between the house and the Zabak house, on the east side. I have, subject to my review, or my office's review and approval of the easement agreement to make sure that that's that provides the rights that, as built. Subject to planning board, continued final planning board review and approval of any conditions they may put on their approvals. That would include compliance with the planting plan that was referenced, last revised 12/28/22. That's on the site plan before the planning board. And the fence, the 6-foot fence on the east side of the property. That's my notes. Does anybody else have anything else that they were considering or that I missed?
Did we include in there references? I know we had discussions on those law 7.736.
The
road easement?
7.732.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it specifically, but that section is an odd section of law. Equivalent in the New York State town law as well. Basically what it says, boiled down to its essence, is that you've got to have a direct connection to a town or village road, if it's a village law to a village road. And if you don't, you've got to have a means to get there, and you need a variance, and the same factors that apply to the granting of area variances apply to a variance under that section of the New York State village law. So even though it's like you're not complying, but you'd be granting a variance from that section saying, hey, this easement, this attachment from this property over this private property rather than direct to the village road is okay with us. And typically, that's a good question, because typically one of the, on more major projects, one of the issues is, what are the specifications of that road? Are they, is it passable for emergency vehicular access and so on? That's the main thing. Is it safe? And I assume that anybody that's been out there, what's the width? Is it a normal width? Is it accessible?
Normal driveway width, yes.
Okay.
Driveway width, not a street width.
No.
So it's not a private road, it's an easement for the common driveway for the property.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so it's, so maybe another condition would be, a maintenance of that at its current width and, passable, to the to the satisfaction of the building inspector. Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. I forgot that.
So if in fact you get a copy of the easement that you recorded. And that, assuming that that's in order,
can't find it.
He would still need it because he has an easement. He has access, but he's not directly abutting. So I mean, there's a question whether he would or whether he wouldn't. Steve Horner from my office at Planning Board, he's of the belief yes, and he's written a letter to that effect. So let's consider it necessary rather than not deal with it. And we don't have to deal with that issue directly. But, okay. Yeah.
In fact, I need to change it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, while during the hearing, I sent an email to Steve to see if he would see it. as to whether he's got, and as we do that easement, he's at his own municipal meeting right now, so he's not looking at it. But I'll check with him and I'll get him.
Okay, so that's the first consideration.
Yeah. So, yeah, so the next one is whether the benefit can be achieved through some other feasible means. Has anybody identified any other feasible means to achieve the same benefit? Okay. The third factor is whether the variance. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, there's no way that you can grow land under the roof.
Right. Yeah. Whether the variances are substantial.
That's the way it is.
And it may be, by the way, you know, substantiality is in the eye of the beholder. It's not necessarily governed by a mathematical formula, although, you know, math definitely comes into play.
Right.
You know,
but it, you know, from my perspective, if we look at it compared to the previously pre-existing non-conforming use, then you can look at the substantiality at the current plans compared to the way it existed before. And the only difference is the rear setback because of the pool. Other than that, if the footprint is the same, then it's not a substantial difference.
Yeah, to me, it's less substantial because of the addition of the additional property.
Right, that's true. So the next factor is whether there will be an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood or district.
I think you posted that they're going to do some drainage off of to drain that water off the roof, plus these pavers.
Didn't you say that there was something actually a benefit produced by the?
Yes, the drainage.
I think that's actually a positive. Mm-hmm.
And that's, and that drainage is one of Martin's comments. I think that's number S5, right?
Yeah. And the seepage pit is added, which the previous dwelling did not have any subsurface detention. So there'll be less runoff from the site.
Okay. And then the last one is...
Seepage pit is in the drawings that you have there?
Yes, and I had a comment of finding a specific note as well. So that's on the plans, and we leave that detail, and we just made a comment that they need to satisfy.
Yeah, and by the way, that would be another standard, a standard condition with substantial compliance with the plans as submitted, dated last revised 12/28.
Yes,
right? Sorry, just give me a second. Okay, and then the last is whether the variance is, whether the hardship is self-created or not. And that's with an area variance that's, unlike with a use variance, it's not determinative. If it's a use variance and it's self-created, that's the end of it. With an area variance, it's not the end of it. It's just one factor.
So again, but for the pool, the variances requested are similar to that pre-existing non-conforming use. So that was already there. So the only thing that's being created is the rear setback variance because of the putting in the pool.
Okay. So it sounds like all the facts, all the discussion are leading to toward the conclusion of a grant. It seems like or anything otherwise on all the conditions stated. So if I'm right in that respect, what you could do is you could, you know, make a motion to approve. Obviously you can make a motion to approve or a motion to deny, but if it's a motion to approve, it would be a motion to approve on the conditions. And if you'd like, I can restate them, and then you could adopt what I'm stating, and then you could then authorize me to prepare a resolution consistent with that and authorize the chairman to sign it if you want to do that. Or alternatively, you could hold off until the next meeting, let me draft in between, and then come back and approve that resolution. I think both are, you know, I have boards that do it both ways. I think this board, you know, has typically done the former, but has also done both, I think. So whatever your pleasure is.
And that would be subject to the approval of the planning board?
That's one of the conditions, yeah. I think in terms of moving the applicant along, if, you know, the planning board is waiting to hear from this board, so I would recommend that you go ahead and vote tonight and vote on a resolution, and then at least it can be reported to the planning board that that vote has taken place, even if I haven't yet prepared the resolution. And then I can prepare the resolution for, and it'll be, you know.
You need to vote on that resolution at a later date, or?
You could do it two ways, right? So, you know, some boards will wait, they'll take a straw poll, and then I'll do the resolution, and then I come back and they vote on the resolution. Many boards also, and I think this board has done in the past, you take the vote, since we've discussed the factors, the record is gonna support whatever it is that you're going to vote on with the conditions, and then you can direct me to prepare the resolution and then authorize the chairman to sign it if he finds it to be consistent with what happened, you know, this evening.
So what's happened in the past when we've had resolutions like this with a number of conditions is we authorize Mr. McCartney to draft the full formal resolution. The village clerk then notifies me, and then I'll come into village hall, I'll review it, and if it's acceptable, I will sign it on behalf of the board.
Right. And, you know, if it's not, and it needs work, then, you know, we can come back at the next meeting.
So nothing moves forward till you sign it, review?
Correct. That's right. It does not take effect until the chairman signs it. So.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, on the conditions?
On the conditions.
Yeah, on all the conditions that we, that have already been listed, and I know what they are when you say them on the record.
And that would be for all the variances requested, including Village Law 7-732?
Yes. Right, that's your motion? Okay.
Your second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry, so just make a separate motion to authorize, to prepare the resolution and authorize the chairman to sign.
You're welcome.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yes.
Now the next one is not a hearing, it's a first appearance, right?
It's a hearing or a first?
First appearance.
Agenda regarding 22 South Ridge Road, regarding construction of an in-ground pool with patio, pool house, outdoor kitchen, and
yes, good evening, board. I'm here representing Mr. Gdansky, also the owner, Mr. John Wald's here also in the rear. The applicant has been living at this premise for 9 years, has children, and he wants to live here much longer, and he'd like to improve his yard. He'd like to put an in-ground pool, a patio, cabana, and a fire pit. In doing so, he will require variances, one for accessory coverage, where 5% is required. Presently, he has 17.3. With the additional improvements, he'll be up to 22.4. And the second variance would be lot coverage. The requirement is 20%. Currently, the property stands at 23.1. And with the improvements, it'll be 29.1. I saw before you were talking about visual impacts with neighbors. The way the property is situated is it slopes to the rear. So he'll be actually digging into the hillside, creating wall-like terraces. So his whole pool area will not be visible from any neighbors. In fact, if you look at the plan, it's elevation 626 at the rear, and his pool is situated at 606. So that's a 20-foot elevation difference by the time he gets to the bottom of the pool. We're here tonight for board feedback and to set a public hearing. So at next meeting, we can hear any concerns from the public and proceed on.
So just so we can help them plan, so generally what is being proposed to be put in the yard?
Okay, he's proposing an in-ground pool, a paver patio in the rear of the pool with a pool cabana, and on the side he wants to do a little fire pit. Cabana, patio, pool, fire pit.
With regard to the patio, would that be permeable or impermeable?
Right now we're proposing impermeable patio.
And the reason why I'm asking that is 29%+ would be probably higher than we've ever gone before. So we always look at ways to mitigate the coverage.
Okay.
I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. But that's your setting as a board member.
Exactly.
Okay, that's why we're here tonight.
Sure. And that, you know, I don't think we've ever gone that high.
Okay.
And with regard to the cabana, what size is that cabana?
It looks to me, scale, you have a 30 scale.
366 square feet.
Correct.
It's a fully enclosed cabana or is it open structure?
I would assume it would have like walls to walk in, right? Is it a cabana or is it fully closed?
I'm pretty sure it's, honestly, I don't know.
He doesn't know.
I've seen pictures of it
in the
dream.
Probably enclosed.
It's got four rooms.
Yep. Changing room, bathroom.
Enclosed.
It might be enclosed with the changing room bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Would that be considered an accessory structure?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Yeah. So Lou, you want to explain how the new, the revisions to the code work with the 20 and it being 15.5?
Yeah, it's 15, the maximum is now 20% on the developmental coverage, but the coverage of maximum on the house is 15. So the other 5% is for pools, accessory structures, and outbuildings.
In this case, and hardscape as well, like
yeah,
driveways.
Hardscape, driveways. In this case, they were already at 23.1 before we started.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already over.
They were at 23.1, on the... It was it 23.1 total based upon the old way of doing it, or is it?
No, 23.1 is the measurement. The whether or not the rating, whether or not we allowed 20 is not the question.
Oh, no, what I meant is it's just a little confusing because it's like you've got the lot coverage. The 23.1 that exists now,
right
is
now.
Is that house?
That's everything.
Plus driveway, that's any hardscape that's existing.
That's everything that's developmental coverage.
Okay. And then the applicant's proposing, Mr. Celentano said that presently, as far as the accessory coverage, it's got 17.3.
Right.
So is there some overlap between that 23.1 and the 17.3, or is, what's included in the 17.3 and what's included in the 23.1 existing right now? I guess is another way of asking.
Correct. So if you look at the bottom of the bulk table, he broke it out into existing coverage. So existing total is 9,237, and then proposed total is 2,400. So he's adding 2,400 square foot of coverage.
Hold on a second. The proposed total doesn't include the pool.
Nope, and I spoke to Mr. Gdansky. I told him that was your interpretation.
Okay.
He said he spoke to the engineer, and he said, no, that was you don't have to include
the code actually includes the pool, so you have to include
I have to include that, so we'll be up.
Up from the 29.1?
Yes.
Two?
I'm going to have to...
The size of the pool.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be somewhere around 33,
34. Yeah.
So what's the reason why you don't provide permeable pavers?
I guess cost, maintenance. But again, We heard the sentiment from the board. So we'll try to work on that.
The question about the fire pit, is that a wood-burning fire pit or a gas-operated fire pit?
Applicant?
I believe it's wood-burning.
That's illegal in Rockland County.
So we could add a gas line.
Well, you have to show it on the plan then.
You would.
Yeah. You have to show a gas line going from the house to the pit.
Sure. Can you tell the architect that?
Mm-hmm. We'll have to change that.
And then by the fire pit, you say proposed pervious pavers.
Proposed.
Directly above the fire pit.
It says proposed pavers.
Pervious pavers, P-E-R-V.
Yeah, mine says pervious pavers.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yeah. No, mine doesn't.
It's
on this copy as well.
Yeah, it's right.
Copy I'll provide doesn't say pervious.
P-E-R-V. Where the fire pit is?
P-E-R-V, period.
Not mine.
Yeah, the plans that are before the board tonight, I have revision for
January 25th, 2023.
Yeah.
That's about it. Let me see what you say, Curtis. Do you mind if I come up?
Yeah, sure.
That in his coverage. Did he include it from his coverage there?
No, he included it.
But you also can't tell to find where it is. It just says it in the middle of nowhere. There's no edge, there's no outline or way to assume it's all of this, no? Or is it just around the fire pit?
Just around the fire pit.
Ready for a public hearing because we don't really know what the variance request is going to be. Number one, we've got to deal with the pool and add that. We've got to figure out this issue with the pervious versus impervious around the fire pit and make sure that whatever numbers are either including or excluding that, and so everybody's clear. And then I think
running the gas line.
Everybody's running the gas line. Consideration
to the gas line right next to it from the existing structure where they have the gas lines. We did when we did the.
Maybe we have to show it though.
Deck. And that will, I don't think that's going to substantially change the, the variances. It's something that's got to get cleaned up, but I think in terms of what we're trying to figure out is we've got to figure out what exactly is the variance request
before so that we can properly
notice it for a public hearing. And then we can, the plan still may evolve at a public hearing, but we can't even really get it on for a hearing until we know what the application is going to be. So, and I think what you've heard a bit of the initial reaction as demonstrated, as enunciated by the chairman in regard to the total numbers that we're talking about here. So, and you've said that you might want to go back to the drawing board to see if there's some reductions. My suggestion to the board and, in terms of procedure and to the applicant is let's put it on the agenda for next month. Let's, have the applicant go and take a look at these issues, revise the plans, revise the application, get the right numbers, and then come back for one more meeting and then we'll see, where we've landed, and then we can determine most likely to then schedule for public hearing for the following month.
My only issue with that is that it was rescheduled 3 weeks ago due to a fan to snowstorm, and we're getting closer to the summer. So it just feels like a lot of back and forth to add a gas line and to decide pervious pavers, which is just a call to the architect, the designer, all the people that I've already paid, and they keep calling me for updates. So I'm just wondering if we could perhaps clean up the plans and put it on for public hearing by next month. Send out to my neighbors a request, we could hear what they want to add, and we could possibly still have it for this summer, as opposed to dragging on till next summer which might make my kids a little sad.
I understand, but before you can even send out a notice for public hearing, we have to know what the variance you're requesting is going to total.
Oh, so we want to request between 29 and 34. By the time the public hears what the request is and what issues they have with my fencing, with my windows, whatever the previous case had, we can have exactly what we're asking for, exactly in the plans, instead of adding another month upon another month upon another meeting. It just seems like dragging it out, in my opinion, but I don't want to impose on the board a new process.
It's not an imposition. The idea of this informal procedure going first is we can informally address some of the major concerns so that by the time we do have the public hearing, we can get down to the nitty-gritty and then make a final determination.
I'm just wondering if we can do the nitty-gritty and the revisions same time. We can have the guy outside with his laptop just fixing it. It just seems like moving a line here, adding papers here and there, doesn't seem like it's a major effort that we have to push off another month.
The issue is just a technical legal one. It's not really of the board's making or desire. The technical legal one is that we don't know, particularly with the pool issue and then with the permeable pavers, if we don't know the number, we can't put it in the, we have to publish it in the newspaper and you have to publish it on your property. We have to put in the number that you're asking for. We don't have a number. So we can't even put it to a hearing because we can't notice the public what the number is. That's the technical
Is there problem. Any way to return to the office, let's say, in less than a week with an updated number so you can add it to the calendar and talk? If I was to pay for the publishing cost?
Well, I mean, I think you're going to be paying for it anyway.
I don't know what extra cost, but instead of pushing it off, I don't see...
That would not be in accordance with the board's usual procedure.
Although I have been here for 9 years, I've paid every year for taxes, and I've yet to request much. I don't think it's much to differ, considering the delay from last month with the auto.
What's the board's pleasure?
I'd like to get some solid numbers before I move my head.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's... You can't just keep making exceptions like that. How can you vote on something when you don't have the numbers?
Right. I think you'd have a better chance with your application if you deferred it for a month and we had everything before us so we could review it before the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
So that's our general sentiment. We can't tell you not to do something. I can only advise you that it would be to your detriment to do otherwise.
I don't really do much in the process besides pay for it, but yeah, looking forward to seeing
you. I've been here in the village 30 years. I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
Appreciate
we'll see you next month.
Okay.
Thank you.
There being no further business before the board, do I have a motion to adjourn?
A motion.
You're in a hurry?
I said all.
Oh, long days.
That was the next one.